Welcome to part 3 of Releasing Grudges, Letters from Listeners, episode 82 of Co-Creating Peace, a series about conscious communication and conflict transformation. I'm Kathleen Owigon. In the last 2 weeks on this podcast, I've been speaking with Lee Hopkins about releasing grudges. Those two episodes have inspired more letters from listeners than any episode so far. Today, I'll share 4 of those letters with you. But first, the quote for today. Today's quote is by Lionel Nowell from his book, You Are Better Than Your Best, The Secrets to Achieving a Successful and Happy Life. Holding grudges, having animosity, or harboring bad feelings towards someone else will keep you anchored to your past and prevent you from attaining all of the success that awaits you in your future. The first letter I'll share with you is from someone who signed it, Not Forgiving or Forgetting. They write, I listened to the conversations you had with Lee Hopkins about releasing grudges, and it gave me a lot to think about. I understand the points you were making about how grudges can both serve us and hurt us, and the benefits of releasing grudges. I mostly agree with all that, but I do think that sometimes we can have really good reasons for holding on to our grudges. I have a big grudge that I hold for 2 reasons. 1, because it feels like if I let the grudge go, that's saying that what happened was okay and forgivable, and it isn't either one, and it never will be. The other reason is that it helps remind me of the bad things that people can do to each other and to keep myself safe at all times. I admit it sometimes feels like baggage and weighs me down, but I can't get past my reasons for holding the grudge. What would you do if you were in my shoes? Here's my reply. Thank you for listening to this podcast and considering the ideas that Lee and I discussed. I also deeply appreciate you writing to me about your reasons for holding on to your grudge and asking what I'd do if I were in your shoes. Your reasons for holding on to your grudge are understandable. From my perspective, releasing a grudge doesn't necessarily mean that we're saying what happened was okay and forgivable. I get clearly from what you wrote that you can't imagine ever feeling that way. As I see it, holding on to a grudge actually continues to give power to what happened. In a way, it gives that event power over us. It has the power to occupy our thoughts and emotions. It has the power to make us feel bad inside over and over again. It keeps the harm alive and in the present. I wonder if you might consider saying to yourself, what happened was wrong, and I do not find forgiveness in myself in this moment. At the same time, I no longer want to give it power over me, so I'm going to let it go. I'm going to leave it in the past where it belongs and fill the space my grudge occupied within me with serenity and with the joy of knowing that event is in my past, and all that will remain of it in my present is the wisdom and strength that I have found in coming through to the other side of that experience. I encourage you to mentally try on that idea. See how it feels. Imagine what it might be like to live those words. The other reason you gave for holding on to this grudge, because it reminds you of the bad things people can do to each other and to keep yourself safe at all times, is also understandable and very natural. We want to remember the lessons our painful experiences teach us. That way, we reduce the chances that we'll have to learn the lesson again. The challenge with holding on to a grudge for this reason is that, in a sense, it's like saying, I won't remove the cactus thorn from my foot because I always want to remember that plants can be dangerous, and I must always be on my guard so that one doesn't hurt me again. Certainly, it's a good lesson to remember that some plants can hurt us, but keeping the thorn in your foot isn't the only way to remember that lesson. And that thorn is causing you constant pain and unwellness in the spot where the thorn remains. Continuing this metaphor, what if, instead, you give attention to the fact that it wasn't just any plant that hurt you? It was a cactus. Then note the characteristics of a cactus that differentiate it from other plants, and log that in your memory so that in the future when you come across a plant with the characteristics of a cactus, you keep a safe distance from it. Not all plants hurt you in the way a cactus can, just as not all people will hurt you in the way this person did. Applying this thinking to the person who harmed you, perhaps if instead of holding on to the grudge as your reminder, you hold on to the memory of the characteristics of the person who harmed you and any clues that you might have overlooked or ignored that could have forewarned you that person might do you harm, you could protect yourself from similar experiences without having to hold on to the grudge and the toxins it carries. It's easy to believe that holding on to a grudge gives us the power to protect ourselves. And in a way, it can, but at what cost? And are there other ways to have that power to protect ourselves without all the harm that grudges can do to us? What would I do if I were in your shoes? Exactly what I just described. And after holding some of my grudges for decades, that's what I did to release them. I won't say that it was always easy. Sometimes it actually was. Other times it was as difficult and painful as removing a thorn that has been infecting my foot. Yet it was so worth doing. I am a happier, more emotionally healthy, and more empowered person because I released those grudges. I hope these thoughts are helpful to you, and I hope you will contact me again and update me on how you're doing with your grudge. The next letter is from Maria in Oklahoma. Maria writes, I've held a grudge against one of my relatives for many years because they did something very unkind to me, and I believe it was intentional. One of my strongest values is kindness, so in addition to the hurt and anger I felt when this person did what they did, I felt a lot of judgment for them. What sort of person is intentionally unkind to another person, I asked myself. And of course, the answer I came up with was that this type of person is cruel, heartless, evil, narcissistic, and so on. I felt so righteous and superior. I reminded myself often of what this person had done to me and how much better of a person I am than they are. Every time I had these thoughts, I felt better about myself and worse about them. Unfortunately, I have to see this relative at almost every family event. Holidays, reunions, weddings, you name it, it seems like I can never stay away from them for very long. Every one of those events that we both attended was ruined for me. All I could ever think of whenever I saw them was what they had done to me and how they'd gotten away with it. I couldn't help but think I had to even the score somehow. And believe me, I tried. I wanted them to feel the pain they had caused me. Yet no matter what I did, I never felt the satisfaction I hoped for. Every time a family event came up, even though I dreaded seeing them again, I would decide I wasn't going to let their presence keep me away, so I would go. As the time for the event approached, I found myself getting angrier and angrier. This person was going to be there and ruin the event for me again. Well, okay, I tell myself, I'll just take the opportunity to try again to teach them the lesson that they need to learn about the consequences of being unkind. Then I heard your conversations with Lee Hopkins about grudges. I felt like someone had thrown cold water on my face and I was waking up from some kind of a dream state. My vision cleared and for the first time, I looked at myself in this situation rather than just focusing on my relative and my anger toward them. I was stunned by what I saw. I realized that I've been using that grudge as an excuse to be unkind to my relative. I, the person who so highly valued kindness, the person who felt so righteous in judging my relative for their unkindness, had repeatedly, intentionally been unkind to them. I had to take a long, hard look at myself. I was disgusted by the ugliness I saw inside myself and the realization that I had been nurturing that ugliness. I feel sick with regret. I'm still working through all of this, but I know I have to have a conversation with my relative and come clean about everything, not just about how they hurt me and the grudge that I've held. I have to take ownership of my actions, apologize for them, and see what can be done to heal our relationship. If I don't, I fear I will never be able to be at peace with myself after allowing my grudge to cause me to abandon such an important value and become an intentionally unkind person. I've been a fan of co-creating peace for a long time and have taken the things that you and others have said to heart. I'm going to go back and listen to some of the episodes about communication to help me plan how I'm going to approach the conversation I'll have with my relative. I'll let you know if I need your help, but for now, I want to see if I can implement what I've learned and do this on my own. Please share this letter with your listeners. I hope others can learn from my experience and not lose sight of their values by being blinded by their grudges. Maria, I hope you're listening now. Thank you for the courage you had to acknowledge your missteps and to share your story with us. You have emerged from your grudge with a lot of wisdom. I've learned from you and your story, and I know others have too. The third letter I'd like to share with you is from Karen in Oregon, who wrote, "I've been thinking about that podcast about grudges because there have been people in my life that I've let go because they were unhealthy for me to keep in my life for one reason or another. I was discerning within myself, do I have a grudge against them? I looked deep and I feel that I do not. But I do recognize that at first I did. The grudge gave me the necessary push to let go of the person. But soon after I let go of the grudge, and even to this day, when I think of them, I do so with a level of loving kindness that wishes the best for them, all while being so grateful they're not in my day-to-day life anymore. So in some way, the grudge served me, and most likely them. Rarely is it a one-way street. I thought you'd find that interesting. That's why I'm sharing it. Sometimes people just have to go, don't you think?" I replied, "You make some very good points, Karen. I've had similar experiences where I found the only way I could release a grudge I carried against someone was to distance myself from them long term, especially when I felt concerned or knew from experience that they would probably repeat whatever the behavior was that inspired my grudge. Yes, sometimes people just have to go. I find it's easier sometimes to have a namaste way with certain people from afar. I think grudges often serve the person who carries it in any number of possible ways, as well as being a disservice at the same time. The question is, which is greater, the service or the disservice? And is there a way to have the service without holding the grudge and the disservice that comes with that grudge? I agree that other people's grudges against us can be a wisdom opportunity for us too, whether it's to learn about ourselves, the other person, or both." The fourth letter I want to share with you is from a person who called themselves grudge-free but wary. Here's what they had to say. "As I listened to you and Lee Hopkins, I was reminded about how I developed a grudge against someone after learning they were holding a grudge against me, and worse yet, was not willing to hear anything I had to say when I tried to clear things up with them. This person is a colleague in my professional field. We're both independent contractors who often serve the same clients and often at the same time when a team of contractors is needed. Unbeknownst to me, this colleague, I'll call him Jack, had completely misunderstood something I said and taken it as an insult, believing that I had questioned his capabilities in front of the client. Jack didn't tell me about this. I learned about Jack's grudge against me through other colleagues who said Jack was bad-mouthing me in our professional community. They were pretty sure he wasn't bad-mouthing me to clients, but he was definitely telling other colleagues of ours not to contract with me because I would try to degrade them in the eyes of the client. Assuming that Jack hadn't gone so far as to say anything bad about me to our shared clients, I didn't get really angry, but I was upset, and I was concerned about what made him think I had insulted him. Jack accepted my invitation to talk about it, and when he told me what he thought I had said was so insulting, I was truly shocked because I had actually been praising him to the client. But Jack had walked in the middle of the conversation, then got up and left, and heard only part of what I said. He completely misunderstood what he heard, and it was way out of context. I told Jack that he took what he heard out of context because he hadn't heard the whole conversation, and that I wanted to tell him about the entire conversation because I wanted him to understand that I was actually praising him to the client. Jack said, "Yeah, right. I know what I heard," and wouldn't let me clarify what the rest of the conversation was and what I had actually said that he had misunderstood. He wouldn't listen to anything I had to say. I contained my frustration and stopped trying to get him to understand. Instead, I asked him how we could resolve his grudge against me and relieve the tension between us. He said that wasn't possible. So even though I had never insulted him or tried to degrade him to others, in the interest of trying to get him to stop bad-mouthing me to our colleagues and to help him feel better about me, even though I had done nothing wrong, I invited him to make an agreement with me that neither of us would degrade or badmouth the other to clients or colleagues. He agreed to that. We also agreed to be friendly to each other in professional settings and to act as though everything was okay between us when we found ourselves working together on a contract. For a while, I held a grudge against him, resenting him for holding his grudge against me and for not giving me the opportunity to clarify what had really happened. Every time I thought of him, I'd get a knot in my stomach, my shoulders would tense up, and I'd get upset and resentful all over again. I would avoid working on contracts I knew Jack was working on, if at all possible, and I didn't go to professional events if I thought Jack would be there. At some point, I realized that I was only hurting myself by reacting to his grudge against me in this way. I was the one missing out on work and on attending events. I didn't even know if he was still holding his grudge, but I knew the grudge I was holding was getting in the way of my success and my happiness. I decided to let go of the grudge I was holding against him. I did a bit of work on myself and some self-talk to remind me of the cost-benefit analysis of holding my grudge against Jack. I let go of the frustration and resentment, and I felt better as soon as I did. That said, I still try to steer clear of Jack because of the experience I had with him. I want to avoid another misunderstanding, as well as the frustration of not being able to exonerate myself once he has condemned me in his mind. As someone once said, you don't have to hate the bee because of its sting, but you don't want to hug it either. I just wanted to share this little story with you and your other listeners to offer another kind of experience with grudges. Yours truly, grudge-free but wary. Thank you to everyone who wrote to me about your grudges and about how my conversation with Lee Hopkins affected you. It means a lot to both of us to know that we make a positive difference in people's lives. If you're enjoying co-creating peace, there are so many ways to help this podcast stay strong and live long. Choose one, choose several, and know that I am deeply grateful for your support in any form. Subscribe to Co-Creating Peace on your favorite podcast provider. Subscriptions improve podcast rankings. Share Co-Creating Peace with people in your life. Share the show on your platforms, tell your friends about it, and give Co-Creating Peace a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Become a patron of Co-Creating Peace by going to www.patreon.com/co-creating-peace. That's patreon.com/co-creating-peace with no hyphen in co-creating. Your sponsorship will go toward the production expenses of this podcast. Patrons pledging $10 or more per month will receive thank you gifts ranging from communication worksheets and workbooks to free communication coaching sessions with me and Co-Creating Peace t-shirts, coffee mugs, and tote bags. Contribute to the content of this podcast by sending me your requests for advice about conscious communication or conflict transformation. I will honor whatever level of confidentiality you want in my response. You can get a free 30-minute communication coaching session simply by coming on the show to talk about a communication challenge you're having. We can change the names of all involved, including you, to protect everyone's privacy. Trust me, any challenge you're having, others out there in the audience are also having. So you'll be helping them by working through your communication challenge with me. If you have ideas for episodes of this podcast or specific things you'd like to learn about conscious communication and conflict transformation, please send those to me too. Many episode topics and guests were suggested by listeners like you. The best way to reach me is to email me at owegon@bridgesofpeace.com. That's OWEEGON at bridgesofpeace.com. I love hearing from my listeners, and I want this show to have a direct and positive impact on your life. You'll be able to hear a new episode of Co-Creating Peace every weekend. This episode of Co-Creating Peace has been brought to you by the patrons who support Co-Creating Peace through Patreon.com and by Bridges of Peace, providing mediation, facilitation, training, and communication coaching services throughout the U.S. and around the world. Learn more about Bridges of Peace by visiting www.bridgesofpeace.com. Thank you for listening, and may you always find new ways to co-create peace in your life.